First things for Tuesday, December 22nd. David Domke, is it a little smidgen brighter this morning than it was yesterday morning?
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at the horizon right now, and I stopped for a second, and down the street, it's a little foggy, like at street level. Then up above the street, off in the horizon, there are some clouds, but they're puffy, not like rain clouds or snow clouds. And then there's also this great non-mass of clouds, like clear sky up above. And it's just beautiful. It's lovely. And the snow on the ground, a mail truck just pulled up right next to me. These folks are out early, man. These folks are rolling, okay?
They are rolling. They do the work.
But today's one of our fun episode this morning. So there is a great website and editor guy the name of the website is Talking Points Memo, and the editor is Josh Marshall.
Yeah.
And it's been around for about 15 years. It's a great publication. Leans left, but not overwhelmingly so, not ridiculously so. But he has a phrase that he keeps using when he tweets out things said by the administration, not the campaign, but by the administration. He says, the law is coming. All right? The law is coming. And today, that's what I want to have as the theme for today's episode. The law is coming. In this case, not for the administration, not for the campaign, but for those news outlets that have catapulted the perspective of these conspiracy theorists, because these news outlets, they have a responsibility to fairness and accuracy in journalism, that really a political figure can kind of just skip. But anyways, you and I are going to chat about this, and I want to play two video clips this morning, which are Crazy Town, visits to Crazy Town, but are not Crazy Town. They, in fact, are like, I don't know what they are. They're a voice of reason within Crazy Town, but they're the voice of reason because they're worried about the law. So the setup for this is that on Friday last week, a very, very pointed letter, legal letter was delivered to Fox News, to Newsmax, and to One American News Network, which is your fave.
Yeah.
The letter was delivered to those three, saying it was from Dominion Voting Systems and Smartmatic Software, which have been the punching bags for claims of voter fraud. The argument over and over and over again by Giuliani, Powell, et al. Has been that voting system Dominion and that software Smartmatic, which is supposedly used by Dominion, have been the root of all duplicity and cheating. And these organizations said, look, you retract things that you have said about us because they're not true, or we're going to sue your pants off, all right? And legal scholars and experts immediately talked about how this was a very strong case that they had. And the New York Times wrote a great article about it, an opinion piece by Ben Smith on Sunday, Monday in the paper. And anyways, here's the response of Fox News and Newsmax, because they're scared that the law is coming. We're going to start with Lou Dobbs, who's going to run an unbelievable segment over the weekend. Then we're going to come out of that and we're going to play the Newsmax clip, which aired yesterday. Both of them trying to protect their legal asses.
Lots of opinions about the integrity of the election, the irregularities of mail-in voting, of election voting machines and voting software. One of the companies is Smartmatic, and we reached out to one of the leading authorities on open source software for elections, Eddie Perez, for his insight and views. Eddie is the Global Director of Tech Development at the Open Source Election Technology Institute. We ask him for his assessment of Smartmatic and recent claims about the company.
Have you seen any evidence that Smartmatic software was used to flip votes anywhere in the U.S. in this election?
I have not seen any evidence that Smartmatic software was used to delete, change, alter anything related to vote tabulation.
Smartmatic says its software was never used outside of LA County in 2020. Do you know whether or not that's true?
That is my understanding. Smartmatic functioned as the contract manufacturer for the Los Angeles County voting system. And that was a customized system that was effectively built to the county's order. I am not aware of them having any other direct customers, relationships with election officials in the United States.
What about Smartmatic and Dominion? Do you know if they're related, whether one owns the other, whether Dominion uses Smartmatic software?
Both Dominion and Smartmatic have individually and respectively put out very clear statements from their corporate headquarters, each of them indicating they are independent companies. They are not related to each other. It is my understanding that neither one of them has an ownership stake in the other or anything like that. They are, again, for all intents and purposes, two completely separate companies.
Have you seen any evidence of a connection between George Soros and Smartmatic?
I'm not aware of any direct connection between George Soros and Smartmatic. It is my understanding that an executive at Smartmatic has some sort of relationship with one of Soros's foundations. That's the extent of my knowledge.
Have you seen any evidence of Smartmatic sending U.S. votes to be tabulated in foreign countries?
No, I'm not aware of any evidence that Smartmatic is sending U.S. votes to be tabulated in foreign countries.
Since Election Day, various guests, attorneys, and elected officials have appeared on Newsmax and offered opinions and claims about Smartmatic and Dominion Systems, both companies that offer voting software in the U.S. And Newsmax would like to clarify its news coverage and note that it has not reported as true certain claims made about these companies. There are several facts our viewers and readers should be aware of. Newsmax has found no evidence that either Dominion or Smartmatic owns the other or has any business association with each other. We have no evidence that Dominion uses Smartmatic software or vice versa. No evidence has been offered that Dominion or Smartmatic use software or reprogrammed software that manipulated votes in the 2020 election. Smartmatic has stated that its software was only used in the 2020 election in Los Angeles, was not used in any battleground state contested by the Trump campaign. Newsmax has no evidence to the contrary. Dominion has stated the company has no ownership relationship with the Pelosi family, the Feinstein family, the Clinton family, Hugo Chavez, or the government of Venezuela. Neither Dominion nor Smartmatic has any relationship with George Soros. Smartmatic is a U.S. company and not owned by the Venezuelan government, Hugo Chavez, or any foreign official or entity. Smartmatic states that it has no operations in Venezuela. While the company did election projects in Venezuela from 2004 to 2017, it states it was never founded by Hugo Chavez, nor did it have a corrupt relationship with him or the Venezuelan government. For more on this, please go to our website at newsmax.com. Read facts about Dominion Smartmatic that you should know.
This is the case of, as you said, CYA. But is it too late for them? They committed all, no matter what they say, we all saw the coverage. They committed these acts. It was on full display. They encouraged it. So can they escape civil prosecution, civil lawsuits?
I don't know. I don't think they're going to escape the lawsuits. Whether they will escape the verdict, I think, is also highly, highly unlikely. But I don't know. I'm not a legal, I'm not a law person, obviously. But
they went on podcasts, though.
Yeah, exactly. I could go on these shows, right?
Yeah,
I could
sure.
Totally go on these shows and make the arguments just as plain as any of the folks they've got on there. It's a remarkable thing to see a entity that makes its living, their livings, on promoting a certain worldview that appeals to the crazy town population, suddenly, out of nowhere, decide to run pieces that completely contradict everything they've been reporting and all the people they've been giving voice to. It didn't just run on, for Fox News, it didn't just run on Lou Dobbs. They ran it on Judge Jeanine, the same segment on Judge Jeanine. And they ran it on, Maria Bartiromo's morning show on Sunday. The three folks, Judge Jeanine, Lou Dobbs, and Maria Bartiromo, who are kind of like they're to the right of Sean Hannity, right? So the law is coming one way or another for these entities. Now I'm really intrigued that they are covering their asses at this moment, trying to go the other route to make the case that they didn't and aren't promulgating these conspiracy theories. At exactly the same time that Sidney Powell, the mayor of Crazy Town, is found her way back into Donald Trump's good graces. She has met in the White House three times with the president in the last 4 days, or has been at least in the White House meeting with people three times in the last 4 days, and is reporting, the news media reporting, that she has the clear ear of the president to potentially seize these voting machines or fight at least about them further and harder down the road.
Well, there is a, back to this, the lawsuits for a minute, that they are in a sense responding to the letters, right? The letters demanded that they retract and clarify their reporting. But at the same time, these companies must be, they're, you know, all the coverage has already talked about it, right? Peter Thiel, the libertarian conservative Silicon Valley millionaire or whatever, multimillionaire, sued Gawker out of existence, funded a lawsuit by Hulk Hogan for a violation of his privacy, because and won and drove that company, a, you know, pretty healthy media, online media company, out of business because they had violated his rights. And you know, truth is a defense, but Gawker doesn't have it here, though they're trying to. I mean, Newsmax and ONN and don't have it, but they're trying to sort of claw it back. But there's also this aspect of the of privacy that the guy who runs the company says was violated, his not just his privacy, but his good name, which is also a way to sue. And these may be effective, and it would be fascinating if it was effective, because at some point you have to still have some rights as a citizen that don't allow your whole life to be laid bare and lied about in the public sphere.
Right. What makes these particular lawsuits, I think, so potentially winnable is that the veracity, the truth defense, which is always an unimpeachable defense, just to use a word, unimpeachable defense for news organizations or for sources to show that what they said was true, and thus it was not defamatory or libelous. That notion of truth has been litigated around these claims all over the country in court after court. So there is this overwhelming mountain of already assessment of the veracity of the claims that Newsmax, OANN, and Fox have been putting forward. It isn't like they didn't have a standard of truth out there to measure their coverage against. They did. There was, all of these claims were put forward over and over and over again by Trump campaign supporters, lawyers et al., in court cases. And judges dismissed them and threw them out and said they had no evidentiary basis. So in many defamation and libel cases, there isn't like this third party assessment of whether so-and-so did such and such, which person X is claiming. In this case, there is this third party separate from the campaign, separate from the news organization, a third party body, the most revered in our society, judges at every level of the American legal system have determined these claims to be false. So for a news organization to continue, which they have until these statements, to put forward the claims that these are true, that the fraud has occurred, is to really, really disregard the reality and to act with what the legal system has always said is the standard you must show to win a libel case or a defamation case. You have to show, a person does, in this case, Smartmatic or Dominion, has to show that the news organization not only published something that was false, they did it intentionally, what's known as with actual malice. They did it knowing that it was false, or they did it with reckless disregard for what is true. Those are two standards. You did it intentionally, knowing it was false, or you did it without any care in the world about whether it was true or not, what's called reckless disregard. Quick aside, we're going back to like one of my intro to comm classes here. Okay, this is this little legal moment here is from a lecture that I would do in my intro to communication and media classes. So you, if you're Smartmatic or Dominion, I think you have a very strong ability to show that, look, the truth was out there, to use another pop culture phrase, the truth was out there, and these news organizations intentionally reported otherwise, a different view, or simply didn't give a crap about the truth with reckless disregard. I certainly would be quaking in my boots if I was Newsmax and OANN. Now, and I draw them out in particular because the stuff I've been reading about them suggests that they're the most vulnerable, economically vulnerable, because Fox has enormous assets, of course, to fight this kind of thing. And this will be a glancing blow on them at best. But OAN and Newsmax, they could go the way of Gawker, as you're talking about, and just be litigated out of business.
Well, but I wonder about with Fox. Well, two things. I wonder about with Fox if the individual hosts can in any way be held accountable, because they did do these shows. They were in charge. They were the editors. They knew what they were doing. So that would be interesting. I mean, probably not, but it'll be interesting.
If that Lou is Dobbs, really interesting. Right.
Lou, like, Dobbs be sued. Maria Bartiromo be sued.
Right. Could Steve Scher at KUOW be sued? Can a reporter at the Seattle Times, when you were there, can a reporter at the Seattle Times be sued? I don't know what the legal law is around that. If it's only the news org, or if the individual producer, writer, journalist can be sued. That's really interesting.
Well, it's got to have something to do with, again, about the what you know, your intention, and if it's absolute, you know, it's deliberate malice or not. I would be curious. I mean, I also took those classes. I didn't teach them, but I took them. But it was a long time ago that I took law of the press. And how much has changed, right? I mean, part of what they've been getting away with is that the fairness doctrine, which applied to broadcasters, has been destroyed since the 90s. And so they didn't have to accommodate the same rules that they had to before that point. But there is still some things that do still linger. But I guess my other question is, so, okay, so one day for 2.5 minutes, they make these statements. Does it mean that Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell will no longer be invited to come on as guests? Will they still get platforms? And Donald Trump is still making these claims. If and when he becomes a private citizen, is he allowed to make those statements on these platforms?
I think that's an open question. We're waiting to see, but we do have some initial evidence on this. So yesterday on Newsmax, I don't know his name. I can't remember his name, but the guy who owns MyPillow, right? Yeah. You know, MyPillow.com. He's like a deputy mayor in the crazy town hierarchy. He came on the Seb Gorka's show, another just crazy town resident, on Newsmax yesterday, I believe it was Newsmax. It could have been OAN, and it's really hard to parse those two. But just as the MyPillow guy was launching into claims around Smartmatic and Dominion, Gorka, the host, cut him off and said, "We don't need to get into the minutia of these things. We don't need to get into this." And it just left it at a high level because they didn't want to get down into the claims about specific entities, because that's where you get sued. Okay, claims about Smartmatic and Dominion. So we have that data point where, like, the stopping of the discourse. And then second, Rudy Giuliani came on. Giuliani criticized and dismissed Sidney Powell as living in, like, this alternate world as her fantasy land, and that her perspectives were ridiculous, and that Trump should not associate with her. So he's trying to build some separation. All of these people are trying to point to, like, people crazier than them. That's what they're doing, right? That's what Bill Barr's doing as Attorney General.
Right.
That's what all these folks are trying to do, is to say, look, Fox News is saying it. Fox is like, look, man, we are not OANN or Newsmax. They're all trying to point to people crazier than them in order to protect their own butts. I just appreciate and am glad that there is some accountability getting built into the system, and it is really low level. It is about the lowest level of accountability that I could imagine as a citizen slash professor slash parent, but it's some, and it's the behavior is so heinous and damaging to our society that to see any movement away from it by a Lou Dobbs at all is remarkable. The law is coming. It's coming for them, and it's probably coming for the President of the United States in 29 days. Okay?
So interesting. I mean, in a sense, we're back to where you were making the arguments when we started doing this, which is that the system, the institutions, have held to an extent the rule of law, not the rule of men. I mean, I keep thinking about the way autocrats have manipulated systems in the past to gain power, you know, use the very courts and the legislatures and to turn them into rubber stamps. But something, so far anyway, something seems different.
The courts and the legal system, they sure seem to be the democratic protectors of the flame right now, right? And so many of them have been Trump or Bush appointees who have dismissed and held the law up as the basis for not counting or not paying attention to these bogus claims. It's, to me, the legal system has held in terms of forcing us to move through a vote counting system, to have recounts and confirmation, to have more recounts, to dismiss bogus claims, to hear them, to give people a chance to submit them. And now it is the legal system that's forcing the news organizations that have been the purveyors of this criminal discourse, these criminal messages, to respond. It is really compelling and fascinating to watch. And it really, to me, is the space of hope in this environment that these folks have held throughout this time. Now, they will many, many times reach legal decisions that I completely disagree with. But I appreciate that in this moment, they have stood for truth and accuracy in a way that seems good and reasonable. And that's what I'll take, reasonable. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's a good Christmas present for this holiday week.
It is. It's a Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa.
Name them all, present. Solstice.
Solstice, exactly. So today's the first day after the solstice. Man, it was like the darkest day in Seattle history yesterday. like darkness wise, and then the rain all day, and then the snow, which was epic in at least the area I live in Seattle. But today we start the journey back towards the light, and that feels good. It feels really good.
Oh, okay. I'll take it, even though I could raise plenty of dark Grinch-like concerns. I will take it.
All right, let's go. December 22nd, first things. Folks, it is close, to use Brent Musburger, a famous sports broadcaster. Tight as a tick. No, that was Dan Rather. Tight as a tick in Georgia. We got to do the work every single day. Postcards, phone calls, texts. Support us financially in our work. Support them, those candidates and those organizations in Georgia. It is tight. We got a shot. But we're moving towards the light. I am walking down the street. You, of course, hear the cars. Walking down the street, and there is a brilliant sunrise coming this morning. Oh, yeah. Let's go.